And welcome to the show. Our guests today are Cindy Moran, Director of Network Services at DISA, Horace Blackman, Chief Information Officer and Director of IT Services for the VA Central Office, and Mike Krieger, he is the Deputy CIO for the Army, and John Walsh, Vice President for Unified Communications at General Dynamics. And John Walsh, I'm going to give you the first question, and that is to just give us a quick 30-second definition of what you mean by unified communications.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. The approach that we take to dealing with unified communications is looking at a customer's environment and determining how we can help provide tools or services that will basically shore up an infrastructure focused on collaboration. So that UC is the combination of a lot of various applications and traditional call processing and integrating other capabilities and functions.
All right, so we want to get to some of the trends leading government agencies to adopt UC, and we know many of them are. And so why don't we start with Mike Krieger of the Army. What's driving the Army toward the unified communications approach?
So, you know, the killer app of unified communications is presence and awareness. So it really changes all your business processes. So now from where you work, you can see if somebody's available. If they're available, you can dial them up and immediately see them. You can share your desktop. You can share work with them. So for us, it's a game changer of changing the way you work and changing business processes. And in the Army, we've had that capability in the deployed force for probably 7 or 8 years. We have not put that capability in the home station, generating force, we call it. So we've got soldiers that deploy and have it and come home and ask for where it is. And then the other thing driving us is the TDM telephone world is going away in industry. And so we've got to move ahead of that and move to an everything over IP-based infrastructure. And so I think those are the two drivers.
Yeah, because when you say telepresence and immediacy to access people, I mean, in a sense, you could do that with telephone. You had to dial it first. But you're talking about something beyond that.
So the difference is, let's take Cindy Moran and I can, from my computer desk, from my screen, I can see that Cindy is at her office. And so what I usually do is then send a quick chat. Hey, Cindy, you got a second to talk? And if she says yes, you push a button, Cindy's in front of me, and we can talk. It's a very powerful way that changes the way you work now, instead of a phone where I call and have to leave a message.
And Ms. Moran, at DISA, you both provide these services and probably use them as an agency. So tell us what's driving UC at DISA.
So a couple of different things. From the network side, which is the network provider where we're going, what's driving us there is commercial industry is changing, and so we're trying to be compatible with industry and instruments. So telephones that are old-fashioned phones don't work in this new environment. So we actually have to go out and do what we call a technology refresh in the network to accommodate the commercial industry as well as government. And at the same time, we've discovered that there are tremendous cost savings to us because it gives us more flexibility in the way that we manage those services and provide them to our customers, say the Army or other Defense Department customers. From an internal perspective, we find, just like Mr. Krieger described, where we've got presence, better collaboration, more ability to do telework, for example. I have people who work for me now in DISA who telework. I don't even see them in the office. I don't need to see them in the office. I know they're out there. They have the same tools that they would have, and those tools follow them around wherever they go. I just recently got back from an international trip, and everything I have on my desktop I had with me while I was out of the country. So it truly does make it a seamless environment. It doesn't matter where I am or what tools I have at that location. As long as I've got my computer or my smartphone, I
imagine that's
tools.
Been a big change for DISA thinking, because it wasn't so many years ago that people at DISA went around the world looking for the best deal on switch telephone service.
Well, so we still look for the best deal, but not on switch telephone service, on different types of capabilities. But yeah, it is. We are looking for the best deal in this whole environment.
And downstream from DOD, the first place you visit is Veterans Affairs. And Horace Blackman at VA, what are some of the driving factors for UC adoption at VA?
I mean, I think Mike and Cindy hit on some of the critical points here. Cost savings is certainly a big thing for us. But one of the things that both Secretary Shinseki and Roger Baker have pointed out is that we need to have an environment where veterans can spend less time on the telephones and more time finding the information they need and getting access to the services that they deserve. So what we're looking to do is to is to put forward the type of infrastructure and environment that enables folks to do so. There are a number of things we're looking to do to leverage the UC environment. Some of it includes things such as delivery of clinical care. We are certainly, as Mike pointed out, the extent to which we want to enhance the degree to which we can foster collaboration is certainly there. And as everywhere else in the federal government these days, you always have to keep the perspective of trying to find cost savings wherever you can.
All right. You mentioned clinical care, so that means that the UC extends beyond the walls of any particular bureau or agency, maybe your whole clinical system.
No, there's no question about that. One of the things that we first started doing when we looked at the unified communications platforms is we started looking at the delivery of some cares, whereas we can extend the reach of our clinicians. So we can provide access to cares at veterans' homes where they can leverage some of the technology to actually consult with the clinicians on a variety of things. We've actually embraced video conferencing, which is a critical element of the Unified Communication Strategy to a significant extent. We had an instance where, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, we had a dermatologist in Anchorage who also was a service member, and he deployed to Iraq. And what happened there, we have a critical constituency there where we don't have a clinician. We were able to leverage the technology and provide that same service to those veterans. And we did it from a couple thousand miles away in Seattle using high-definition cameras and leveraging the infrastructure that we already have in place.
Okay, Mr. Walsh, we've heard telepresence or presence, visual presence to see people without dialing up. We've heard about clinical care. Looking across the fabric of government from your point of view, what are some of the other main drivers? What about social media, for example?
Well, social media definitely comes into play, but I think if we back up a little bit, what Mr. Krieger started with was the antiquated technology that is part of the TDM networks. From an operations and maintenance standpoint, it gets to be very cost prohibitive with manufactured discontinued products, end of life, the non-availability, and even looking into the resources that have been part of the engineering and the support of that are no longer available. So the social media has, I think, created quite an awareness among the general population on what tools can do, the availability of information, and how to get things done a lot quicker and a lot more productive. Now the challenge is how does that get integrated into not just the business processes, but also the infrastructure and the technology backbone that's available to support it.
So what are some of the applications that you're seeing?
We're seeing a lot of instances where we can minimize or reduce the proliferation of conference bridges, that you can host a conference bridge in a single location. Call centers, you can do something similar. You can start using applications to support call centers so that you get past the frustration points of someone waiting on hold to talk to an agent to provide the same information a second or third time, that you can actually initiate something from an IP standpoint that will trigger the call center, and you'll get a call back saying, hey, you know, I'm the call agent who has received this, I have your information, and let's move forward. So you can eliminate a lot of those frustration points.
And Mr. Krieger, in the Army, of course, there's a big logistics tail, and for many decades, logistics has been its own kind of stovepipe system. And I imagine UC can maybe help you get around some of that and create efficiencies.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The killer apps in UC continue to be presence and awareness, the ability to share a desktop immediately. So if somebody's got a question, you got the data, you can just share it with them all. And then this thing that you can reach out and see somebody helps the dialogue a lot better.
But can you also integrate information systems into that presence model so that the information...
So now you're heading in an interesting direction. So this is all about interoperability. So there's five capabilities here: presence and awareness and chat, voice video, and share and desktop. Four of them have standards. Okay, the voice video standard is a session initiation protocol, which is pretty common in the telecons now, and so that works pretty well. Presence and awareness is interesting. So the DoD standard is XMPP. It's similar to SMTP, the old simple mail transfer protocol that made email systems be able to talk to each other. And so XMPP does the same thing for presence and awareness and chat, but it's not wholly supported in industry yet. And so one of the things that DoD is going to try to drive along with the federal government is the XMPP standard, because that gets after your point. Then we can all be using different products and share presence and awareness, because without presence and awareness, You're not changing business processes. And this is all about changing the way we work, like the new generation does. And so it's critical in this discussion we focus on standards. Because one of the standards DoD is going to try to drive is XMPP to share presence and awareness in CHAP. Now, I mention that because the telecons have really gone to SIP Simple, which is a great standard for our youth on telephones for IM. But CHAT's different than IM because IM is synchronous. And so I can IM with you if you're there. CHAT is asynchronous, and that's the business process we need in DoD because chat rooms, you tend to stand up a chat room to do something, say for a fire mission, and people come in and out of the chat room. SIP Simple doesn't support that. XMPP does. And so this is really, from an IT perspective, this is as much a standards discussion as anything else.
And Ms. Moran, at DISA, of course, that must be foundational to all of the exploration you do on behalf of DoD customers is standards.
It absolutely is. In fact, when Mike's talking about the SIP protocol, one of the things that we were able to do from the Defense Department perspective was work with the telcos and other industry partners and change that SIP standard to something called AS-SIP, which is Assured Services SIP, because we have a slightly different model that we need to assure services in this environment. And industry has been able to leverage that and is doing some tremendous things with Assured Services SIP as a next level to SIP. And so as we work through the XMPP issues and others, we hope to do the same thing, come up with a better standard that helps industry as well as add some of those features that government needs to be a little bit more secure.
I was going to say you need more security and probably more reliable presence than you can get, say, from the average Skype session.
So I don't know about more reliable, but a potentially a clearer picture, potentially more pixels, but Skype and the commercial ones are pretty reliable. We don't have much problem there. Where we do see challenges are things, one of the big ones is in the military. We require a thing called precedence and preemption. You have to be able to go out and be able to break into a call if it's critically important. And we've been able to resolve that in an IP environment, which 5 years ago would have been impossible. And so that's a pretty neat thing that we've worked with industry to do.
All right, so we've discussed some services and some standards we touched on, but didn't go deeply too much into the cost aspect. And of course, we're all budget constrained now in the federal government. So Mr. Blackman at VA, how does the cost factor come into all of this adoption of UC and the services it supports?
Well, one of the things we began looking at UC in the first place was we recognized two things. One, the capabilities that the platform delivered was significant for us because it gave us the ability to do some things we couldn't do as easily before. Secondly, and I think Mr. Krieger touched on it, there is a compelling business case for the migration from the TDM environment to the UC platform. Not only, you know, what we have found in pilots we've run, including one we are in the process of implementing at VA Central Office, is that the cost differences between the legacy environment and the UC environment runs about 50%. That's 50% you can take out of telecom, you can put into other clinical applications, you can invest in your infrastructure, you can look at things such as making your infrastructure more resilient, more robust to support the environment. I think that's been a big thing for us. Being the second largest department in the federal government, we have a tremendous scale. And when we look at expanding telecommunications across the department, we're really looking at a $373 million investment. And that's a challenge in any environment. I think what we have found is, you know, if were we to go out and deploy PBXs and look at the interoperability, et cetera, it would cost us far more than that, even at that higher amount. So for us, the business case is quite compelling. But even more compelling than the business case is the use cases that comes with it. I think the ability to allow clinicians, docs, pharmacists, and caregivers to interact with each other and foster a level of collaboration really positions us to deliver a better level of services for our veterans. And that's been a big selling point for us. It allows our veterans to spend less time on the telephones, trying to find information, more time on the phones, really getting information and getting access to the care they need.
And of course, standards and interoperability fall on the vendor. So at General Dynamics, is that something you try to virtualize in effect, bringing together different products so that they work together for customers, or are you finding that the things pretty much work together now?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say that we can just rely on that things are going to work together now. So we will start with a very basic requirements analysis. We'll look at what legacy infrastructure is, what type of investment has been made, and some life cycle management types of planning, and to determine if it makes sense to continue with a platform or if there is a need for replacement. But it's all a very logical approach, and it, for the most part, it's coordinated with the customers to try to marry up with what their needs are, and a lot of it's their funding profile. Depending upon how it's approached, following up with Mr. Blackman's comments, that with some minimal investment, you can start reaping large benefits and reductions in your operations and maintenance, and then reinvest that however you want, whether it's modernizing your network or for another program that needs funding.
So even without interoperability across the industry right now, you can still get savings with what is available and deploying it in a way that maybe future-proofs it.
Correct. And it may help you prioritize some of your requirements.
Our guests today are Mike Krieger, the Deputy CIO of the Army, Horace Blackman, Chief Information Officer and Director of IT Services for VA Central Office, John Walsh, Vice President for Unified Communications at General Dynamics IT, and Cindy Moran, the Director of Network Services at DISA. You're listening to the General Dynamics IT panel, Unified Communications, Connecting People to People Anywhere, Anytime, on Any Device, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin.